This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning. Welcome on into Sports Radio 94 WIP. Kyle Forsini and Francisco Rojas, we're back, Fran.
Let's get it.
We're back for another week. Up. Filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. 215-592-9494. That is the phone number to hop aboard. Francisco, a very bad series against the Mets for our Phils. A good two games against Atlanta. Good to see. I mean, the Kyle Schwarber four home run game that's happened 21 times.
In the midst of a legendary season.
I mean, we really are in the midst of one of the greatest Philly seasons ever from a hitter going on right now from Schwarber. The chase for 60 is fully on right now. Haven't even entered the month of September. He's got a real chance if he's got a hot month of September to get to 60 home runs.
Yeah, I'm going to be pissed off if he gets... Well, no, I'm not going to say that. If he gets 59, like, great, pass Howard, that'd be awesome. But you got to get 60 at that point.
I'm with you on that. Want to get 60 as well. But, Fran, where we start today, and I almost think that this is going to be like a Phillies therapy session for us, I'm sure for the listeners out there, for Lewis, who's producing. I know that we all kind of feel the same way. Mm-hmm. So 215-592-9494, as we take your phone calls, has the Braves series, the first two games against Atlanta, has this lifted your spirits at all? Or was that Mets series that we saw at the beginning of the week a sign that the Phillies cannot make a deep playoff run? Kind of like a little Phillies check-in here. Your feelings on the Phils. Did the two games against Atlanta change your mind, or was that Mets series kind of a sign of things to come that this team cannot make a deep run in the playoffs? Where do you stand on that? 215-592-9494. Taking a little bit of the pulse of the Phils right now as we get ready to enter into the last month of the season. Fran, I'll start with you first. Mm-hmm. Your feelings on the Phils right now. Was the Mets series a sign of what's to come, or has this Atlanta series kind of swayed you in a different direction?
Yeah, this I'm going to be honest. This Atlanta series is absolutely irrelevant. They did this against Atlanta a couple of months ago when they were in Atlanta, right? When they scored, I think they were coming off the Houston series.
The
Houston series where they scored, I think, a run.
Yeah.
They might have scored one run.
Got shut out
then,
twice in a row and then lost two.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So they didn't do anything offensively, which, again, this team is still mostly about the offense. I think we could all agree with that. Maybe a little bit with the Zach Wheeler news, too, about the rotation, but we'll get into all that. But it's mainly about the offense, and the offense against Atlanta a couple of months ago, they come back, score 13 runs, and then the rest of the series, they didn't really do much offensively. And then we're seeing the exact same thing. It's like, great, Schwarber hits four home runs, has an absolutely legendary night. The offense lights it up, scores 19 runs, and We've seen it before. And then last night, yeah, they won, but they only scored two runs. It's the exact same thing. So this Atlanta series is absolutely irrelevant to me. Great, they've won two games in a row. You feel good about that to a certain extent. And Kyle Schwarber, what a night, what a season. It's awesome. But this Atlanta series is irrelevant. When I look back to this Mets series, Kyle, and you know, we were talking about this, you know, during the Mets series, you texted me and you're like, I just can't do it right now. I know you're going to get into it too.
I was not doing well.
Yeah, you're not doing well.
Struggling.
Yeah, really, all of us, you know, live and die with this team. But I think you and Fritz next level. But Kyle, when I look at this Mets series, it just gives me super big time flashbacks, and I think it did for all of us.
Absolutely,
to last postseason. I know that, you know, the Phils played well against the Mets at CBP earlier in the year, but I mean, it's just flashbacks to last postseason. If we have to see the Mets at all in the postseason, they have our number. It feels like the opposite of kind of us against the Braves a couple of years ago, where, like, yeah, I would say, I mean, we all agree that the Braves were better than us, you know, probably overall as a roster, and they were in the regular season, but we just had their number in 22 and 23. Kind of feels like the same thing right now with us versus the Mets. I think we're the better team, and as far as, like, talent goes, and I think probably even Mets fans would agree that we're better talent-wise, but the Mets just, it feels like they have our number right now. And I don't even know, like, when the Mets come to CBP in a couple of weeks, I don't even think that's gonna, like, I don't know, what even if we split or win that series, I don't think that's gonna do much, because I'm thinking about if we have to see the Mets in the playoffs, we have to go to New York at all. I mean, we had Zach Wheeler go for us game one last year, and he put up an incredible outing, and we still weren't able to get it done. So, and you're not going to have Zach Wheeler this year. So I'm looking at the Mets, and by the way, not just the Mets, any other team. Like, again, this comes back to the Phillies just not being able to get out of their own way. And it seemed like that Mets series kind of makes you go back to the last postseason, and also last year, or the 2 years ago against Arizona,
sure,
where it just feels like when their backs are against the wall a little bit, just feels like that this team isn't gonna get it done when it really matters.
No, it feels like if you get them into a corner and you've got them on the brink of elimination, or you've got them on the brink of where, like, they feel the need to press and everybody's trying to do too much, you get the worst version of this team. You get the version where Bryce Harper can't get out of his own way and can't come up in a big spot, where Kyle Schwarber goes hitless for the entire series as he did at Citi Field against the Mets. JT, hitless. Stott, hitless. Trey Turner, outside of a leadoff triple in game one, non-existent. I mean, they hit one home run in the entire series. It was a Harrison Bader game-tying home run.
It was great, but, like, you also felt like you knew they were going to lose.
Which is the exact thing that I think is the biggest problem. It's like, you know, even though they tied, even when Harper hit that two-run single to go up in that game, you still feel like you know what's coming. It was like, all right, great, you go up 2-0. You need to get six runs that inning to feel comfortable, because against the Mets, it just feels like they've got some black magic against you where all of a sudden things are going to change. So, kind of a little bit of a Phillies therapy session today. Again, 215-592-9494. Have the two games against Atlanta lifted your spirits at all, or are you still down from that Mets series and feel like that was a sign of things to come, that the Phillies cannot make a deep run in this postseason? I mean, I side with you on this, Fran, and I know that it stinks that we both feel this way because you want to be positive on the Phils, but it was just hard to, after that Mets series, when Schwarber, you know, the four home runs that he hits on Thursday night against Atlanta, insane, right? Happened 21 times in the history of the sport. Somehow the Phillies have had four of the 21 players that have done that, which is crazy, that they've got a seventh of all people that have hit four home runs in a game. But I almost found myself, I don't want to say I couldn't get excited for that, because obviously that was awesome. I wanted to see him hit five off the position player. It's never been done before.
Come on.
You know, that would have been something that would have been truly incredible, as if four wasn't incredible enough. But, you know, the 19 runs against Atlanta, the fact that all of a sudden they can come out of the woodwork when they come home and start hitting bombs and get the crowd into the game, and Nola, after giving up three runs in the first inning, is able to settle down and get you through six in that. It just feels to me like that it's not as comforting as I would have liked it to be, because we saw what this team was against the Mets. We saw that they picked up exactly where they left off last season at Citi Field, where they lose three out of four there in September last season, and they've now lost 10 in a row. You get swept in April, you get swept in August, you got swept up there in the NLDS last season. Game three, it looked like they just had no desire to even be there, which I think is a problem. Nolan McLean, who I know is a good pitching prospect and I know has been good for the Mets, had given up one hit through seven innings in a start where Taijuan is on the hill for you. And for all the good things Taijuan's done this year, I know he's been a pretty solid pitcher for the Phils. It's hard for me to admit that at points because I just don't think he passes the eye test, but you have to give credit where credit is due. And Taijuan, and I heard Spike Eskin say this on the afternoon show this week, where he just feels like nothing fazes him. You know, Taijuan will give up three tank shots in a row and he doesn't care. He's just going to go out there and still be the same kind of pitcher. He doesn't get rattled by a whole lot. But when he's on the mound, you understand you're going to have a good offensive night in a lot of cases. You can't go and have one hit through seven innings and expect to win a start. He's not Zach Wheeler that's out there on the hill. So for a hit, you know, to have one hit through seven innings against Nolan McLean was just infuriating. And it looked like they had no desire to be there. That game, I felt, exemplified exactly what we have seen from this team in the postseason, where you could have given them 45 innings against Mets pitching on Wednesday night. They weren't going to get a hit. They weren't going to score a run. It was just, it wasn't happening. You know, they got first and second at one point in the game and immediately just went 1-2-3 after that. Like, it felt like no matter what you could have done, it was just not going to happen for the Phils that night. And Fran, the last thing that I'll leave us with is that it drives me insane, and I heard Jack talk about this as well this week, that New York is not scared of the Phillies. Forget about the fact that the Mets players understand that they know they're in the Phillies' head, and they know that Citi Field and the Phils is their get-right series. They had an opportunity to bury them. I mean, you're going into that series seven games up.
Would have been 10 up.
You got a chance. I mean, a sweep is a lot to ask for, because I don't think the Phils have swept the Mets in... I can't even remember the last time they've done it.
They're 0-8 the last eight games against New York, right?
Well,
at Citi Field.
0-10 at Citi Field, if you include the postseason. So it's been a lot. So I don't even know the last time the Phils have swept the Mets. We'll have to do some research on that. But you've now been swept by the Mets twice in the same year.
Yeah.
You've got to go back at least 2 to 3 to 4 years for the last time the Phils swept the Mets. They do it twice to you in the same season. Keith Hernandez is on SNY saying that they're overrated.
Right. I was going to say, like that... I mean,
they know that.
Go ahead.
The issue with that to me is, and forget about the fact that New York thinks the Phils are overrated. New York thinks that they can beat the Phils and they own them. I think truly where it really resonates with us the most is that deep down, they're saying what we feel. I think we think that this Phils team is overrated.
Oh, I was going to say, I agree.
And
I think they're overrated too.
That they can't get it done in the playoffs, or we don't trust them to get it done because of what we've seen the last three seasons. That's where it hits home for me the most. You know, forget about Keith Hernandez saying it because he's a Mets homer and he wants the Mets to win and he thinks the Mets are good. Him saying that and the New York fans not being afraid of the Phillies kind of just confirms what I feel about this team. And I don't like it. So I want to feel the other way. I want to believe in this Phillies core. And for most of this season, I have. I've been positive. I've said that I thought that this team was good enough to win a World Series. But when you see a series like that against a team that it felt like a playoff series up there.
It did.
And
100%.
To see that result.
Because they took it seriously, by the way. The Mets took it seriously. Like, oh, we're seven back. We need to. Like they said to themselves, like, we're not just trying to win the series. We're trying to sweep because we're trying to send a message that we're still here. You know, even if they don't win the division, that's scary for us in the playoffs.
I mean, even if you take one game in that series, you would still be seven games up like you were going into it after what happened against Miami on Thursday for them, the Phils against the Braves. You know, you would have had no ground made up or lost, and all of a sudden, you know, going in there and getting swept is the only thing you could have done that would have given the Mets any sort of life.
And going back to the overrated thing, like, I felt that way the entire year. Like, they're propping us up, and I get it. Like, again, we talked about talent-wise with this team. Like, yeah, talent-wise, they're still great. But looking at, like, World Series odds before the year started, like, they're one of the, you know, top teams to potentially win the World Series this year. Not that they don't have a chance. Like, they do. But I think as far as being overrated goes, I mean, watch them the last couple of years and watch them against the Mets here. Just you can't help but I can't help but think, like, I definitely feel like they're overrated.
Yeah,
right,
and it drives me nuts that we have to feel that way. I want them to somehow, and I don't really know what you can do at this point because you're not playing at Citi Field again this season. But having a team in your own division be one of your biggest rivals, and that team being in your head and owning you, and being able to take care of business every time they play you, it seems like for me, it obviously drives me up a wall, but it just raises that level of concern even more seeing the way that they play against them.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like the flip-flop of us against the Braves a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like, we knew the Braves were technically better than us, but we knew come postseason time, we're like, oh, we beat you in 22. We were just, playing with house money. And then the next year, we go and get past you again. I mean, look, the Mets did the same thing last year. Okay, they didn't get to the World Series, but they got to the CS. And this year, they're like, oh, we see Philadelphia in the playoffs again? Like, oh, and no Zach Wheeler? Oh, this is not that. Their offense isn't as good as it used to be? Oh, this is nothing for us.
The NL East of the last 4 years really does feel like a true rock, paper, scissors, where the Phillies have the Braves number, the Mets have the Phillies number, and the Braves have the Mets number. It's like neither one of those three teams can figure it out against the other, but they all have their kryptonite.
And we thought it was going to be a three-team race this year.
I know. And thank God it's not, because Atlanta's been a joke, and I love that. Lewis producing today, Lewis Coco. We'll turn it over to you, Lewis, before we go to the phones. Your thoughts on what's going on with the Phillies and the Mets and Braves series?
Yeah, not good. Well, obviously it's good against the Braves, but the Braves suck. So, to your point, Kyle, I don't remember. I think it was, well, both of you kind of said it. Playoff series. It felt like a playoff series when they were up in Flushing, New York.
Yeah.
And I actually did Google it a little bit, and the AI helped me out here. It looks like the last time the Phillies swept the Mets was August of 2021. But guess where it was?
Oh, that was CBP. That was the Zach Wheeler.
That was the Wheeler Halladay game.
Yeah. I don't know. If you can in the break, Lewis, fine. Like, when the last time they swept a series at City Field, I would genuinely be curious.
Yeah, I'll keep looking. But they swept it at home. This team, can't, for whatever reason, can't go up to New York. And there's a possibility, you know, if we face them, I mean, if things work out, I'm not happy with the way the Mets series went. When your biggest players, when your leaders in the clubhouse completely forget how to play, and I don't want to harp too much on the Harper thing with the rivalry pack and all that stuff, but like going, you know, just having a horrible game, wearing Mets colors,
getting just weird,
egg on your face up in New York. It's not a good look, but I think the biggest, scariest thing for me is the fact that that is a very real playoff situation for the Phillies. And if we can't get it done in a regular season game, it's not going to look good for us when we eventually make the playoffs. And if we do face the Mets, they have our number. The Braves series, while Schwarber hitting four home runs is absolutely fantastic, and they put up, what was it, 19-3?
Whatever the
final score was. That's fabulous. Like, great. But it's the Braves. The Braves are terrible. And then I think that one of the even more frustrating things for me is the Phillies get blown out by the Mets, and then they start the series against the Marlins with a 7-4 loss, and the Marlins are terrible.
Yeah,
and I know you guys, you know, you were saying before the show, we were talking about it a little bit, the Marlins were hot there for a little bit, but it really is infuriating. The Marlins were, I think last time I checked, 16 or 19 games back, completely out of the race, and they're beating up on the Mets. Now, I know last night I think the Mets won, but still, it's completely disheartening for me.
It is, and if the season ended today, you'd be in the exact situation you were last year, where you'd be watching a 3-6 wild card series between the Dodgers and Mets, and you'd be praying that the Dodgers win it, because nobody wants to have to face the Mets or go to Citi Field, so... The fact that a first-place team, a team that is 78-57, we all think is a very good team, but you certainly see the flaws and you certainly have the feelings of potentially being overrated and the whole deal. It's very, very disheartening, frustrating that that's how they play up there against the Mets at City Field.
Yeah, and by the way, going back to, like, Lewis, you mentioning that, they won 19-4 and it's great. Like, I texted you after that game, Kyle. I was like, the way I feel is how I felt, like, all season. It's like, oh, wow, great, great game. I still don't believe in this team at all. Wow, Kyle Schwarber. What an incredible night. It's been an incredible season to watch Kyle Schwarber, but all for what?
Yeah, but what you
That's
saw.
That's kind of how I feel.
But what you saw the series before was the ultimate thing that I think a lot of us are afraid of. 215-592-9494. It's Kyle and it's Fran. We're here with you till 10 o'clock this morning, asking right now, has the Brave series lifted your spirits, or was the Met series more of a sign of things to come that the Phils can't make a deep playoff run? Let's go to the phones and talk to Christian, who's calling in from Blackwood. Christian, what's up, man? What are you feeling on the Phils?
Hey, fellas. How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing good, Christian.
Good. Pretty good, man. I feel like I go, like, day to day. I'm like, you know, we're back. And then the next day, I'm like, we're cooked. Like, you know, after the Mets series, I'm like, I'm texting all my buddies. I'm like, all right, let's attack it in. We're cooked.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, you should. And then, like, the next night, you know, everybody starts hitting cannons. And I'm like, okay, like, are they going to pull me back in? Or, like, well, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah, I think a lot of that, Christian, is just kind of the ebbs and flows of a baseball season where it's very easy for all of us. Because I'm the same way where, you know, they lose two straight games and I'm like, this team stinks. And, you know, then they win two in a row and I'm like, oh, they're back and they're scoring runs and it's great. The Mets series, Christian, was the first time for me this season where I really felt like, yeah, there's some legitimate issues here because this is the same thing that we've seen for 3 years going now in the playoffs. And we just saw it a month early this year.
Yeah, and it was flashbacks to last year in the Mets series. You know, like it's crazy. Like, yeah. what is this? Is this a World Series team? Is this not a World Series team? Like, I don't know, man. We're in first place, but it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to stay cautiously positive at this point. I feel like.
Yeah. No, I know. I think we're all trying to still. I mean, look, again, Christian, it's tough with this baseball team because we don't get too many good baseball teams in this city. I mean, I grew up, I'm 30, so me and Kyle have both, pretty close in age.
Suffered through a lot of
Yeah,
Phillies
we suffered,
baseball.
But we did see the golden era of Phillies baseball in 07 to 11. But again, like that golden era, like, that was the one golden era. Like, what, you know, 10,000 losses, all that. So, like, I get it, but at the same time, it's just, it's tough. It's tough with this team.
And now Wheeler's out, and, you know, the Nola we got is not the same Nola from the 22 series. And, like, it's just, I don't know, man. I'm still on board. I'm not out completely. Yeah. The Mets series was very, it was a blow. It was definitely a blow. That game the other night definitely sucked me back in a little bit, though, man. Yeah. I mean, it shows that they can definitely get it going, but we just got to see how we do against a better team. And you know, I wanted to say, you know what's crazy about this Braves team? Like, it's not – they don't even have bad players. Like, all their players are, like, individually good. It's just, like, the team itself stinks this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's the core that they locked up for like, you know, 7 or 8 years back a couple of years ago. Ozzy Albies, Ronald Acuna, I know Austin Riley's not playing, but Matt Olson and Michael Harris, you know, like, they've still got a lot of good players, Christian, and their pitching staff has dealt with a lot of injuries. They've dealt with a lot of injuries as a whole as a team. But, yeah, I mean, I genuinely don't know what has happened to the Atlanta Braves because it is shocking to see them 13 games below. I love it, don't get me wrong, but it is shocking to see them after where they were 2 and 3 years ago to be 13 games below on August 30th.
Yeah, like they got so many like great hitters, and like it's wild, it's pretty crazy.
Like you said,
I love it. I do love it.
And oh yeah.
To go back to your point earlier, that last game of the Mets series, you guys are right. Like they looked like they were like, all right, we're cooked. Let's go back to Philly. Like, let's not even try this game. I was like, if that's how they're going to be in the playoffs, man, I don't know.
That's how they were last year, Kyle. Like that. I mean, they after the Mets series, they looked like they didn't really. It looked like they were letting the game kind of try and come to them, which is not something that you should do. You need to go grab it by the bull by the horn, like they did in 2022 when they were playing with nothing to lose. And then after the series, they were just.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out.
True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's like, oh, well, this is how baseball works.
I'll tell you what else is very frustrating from that series as well was the fact that the pitching wasn't good. You know, you go out and game one, obviously you've still got the stench of Citi Field. You're going into that series. You're up seven games. It's like, all right, let's make this 8-9-10 game lead going out of the series. And you go out and you go up 3-0 right away in game one, and you're feeling confident because you've got Sanchez on the hill. You know, you're thinking if you're going to have a 3-0 lead for anybody in this rotation, sans Zach Wheeler, you want it to be for Christopher Sanchez. He's been the de facto ace. He's going to have to fill that void in the playoffs. He is your number one guy now. And he gave up the most earned runs he's given up in a start this season. You know, it's infuriating that even the guy that's been so nailed for you all season long goes to Citi Field and he just can't get it done either.
I think it's also the fact that, like, I think... it feels like a lot of us are confident in Sanchez, and like there's definitely merit to it. I mean, he's been incredible. Nothing that I think we would have come to expect to this point, where he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But remember, and this goes to his start at Citi Field here recently, like, Sanchez doesn't really have much of a track record in the playoffs. He hasn't been bad, but I mean, he has, what, one start?
Yeah, he's technically
maybe,
got
two,
but it's really
because it was
like
one inning or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not a shot at Christopher. It's just like, to be honest, like, this is the guy we're going to go with as our one. Like, obviously, he's going to be our one going into the playoffs. And with Zach Wheeler, you have, I mean, a track record and then some. He's been, I mean, historically one of the best starting pitchers in the playoffs ever. So, you go from that to Sanchez, and maybe he'll be great. Maybe he'll be what Wheeler's been in the playoffs, but we don't know that yet. And that's the one thing where you're just like, wow. Now we're already feeling down on this team. Now it's like you look at that Mets series with Sanchez did against the Mets. Lizardo wasn't very great. Wasn't great. Taiwan wasn't great. And they're thinking about it. You're like looking ahead, like, man, it reminds you the rotation ain't there either. You know, it's still good, but it's not, you're not confident. We'll get into the rotation, by the way.
215-592-9494 has the Braves series, those two games they've played Thursday and Friday. Have they lifted your spirits on the Phils, or was that Mets series a sign of what's to come in the playoffs? Sean is calling in now from Lansdale to talk about the Phils. What's going on, Sean?
What's up, Sean?
Sean!
Sean! Wake up, Sean!
All right, we're going to put you back on hold there, Sean. Let's go to Mike calling in from Hatfield. What's up, Mike?
Yo, Mike.
Hey, yo, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. I have to tell you, I mean, to address your question, I haven't been fooled the entire year. Mm-hmm. I haven't been fooled the entire year. I mean, it's a definition of insanity, expecting a different result from the same core guys from 2022 that didn't get it done. But, yeah. You know, I mean, it's after Rice Hoskins left, after that, you start to go on a decline, right? So they made it a little bit deeper into the playoffs, and then right. They start to dip down. Now, you know, last year they got knocked out easily. The offense is the problem. I mean, they shut off. I've never seen a team just turn off the way they do and so inconsistent. I've never seen a team like that. It's the most frustrating Phillies roster I have ever watched.
Yeah, guys go cold on teams all the time, but you're right in that it feels like the entire lineup from top to bottom, 1 through 9, everybody is ice cold at the same time, where the pitch that's right down the middle that sometimes Schwarber hits into the second deck, all of a sudden that pitch gets fouled back, and the pitch that Bryce usually lays off that's low and away, he's swinging at. Like, they all might just get, yeah, they press, exactly. They get into this mode where they feel like everybody needs to be the hero and they don't trust each other, and then they don't get the job done because everyone feels like they have to be the hero.
Yeah, it's that's the way this team's been. And the most disheartening part is they have one of the best pitching team in the league. And it's so many great outings this year. How many of them were blown where they gave up maybe one or two runs and yet we couldn't capitalize? Leaving men on base, inning after inning, swinging, chasing the same balls. Everybody knows where to pitch these guys.
Yeah, especially
pitch them low and outside 6 inches, and a lot of them are just going to swing at it.
Yeah, like I'm thinking about Trey with a chance in that. Go ahead.
He's the most frustrating guy on the team. Last year in the playoffs, I put my finger on the TV screen. I said, "Watch him swing. Here comes the pitch. This is where it's going to land."
That's what Kyle was doing. Kyle was like,
"One after another, man. I just can't." It's a shame because this team's getting older.
I know.
So, like, this is your time. You need to step it up now because next year, I mean, they're all going to be older. You don't know if they're going to be able to. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about tying down Schwarber, but I don't know if they're going to have the ability to do it.
Well, that's an interesting question, Mike. I appreciate the phone call.
I think they will bring back Schwarber still.
I would side with that as well. I mean, I think he's 32 years old. Yeah. I think that the Phillies are more concerned about how many years they give him versus how much money they give him. I don't really think that the price is going to be that much of a deal for them. I don't think that they'll want to give him a 5-year deal because this core is already getting old, and you get another guy on the books for 5 more years.
Right.
You've got a core that's going to get real old real fast.
I mean, if you're Kyle, like, this is your chance probably to get a big payday last time.
100%.
Yeah. So of course he's thinking about that.
Yeah, and I get that from his perspective, of course. But I think that they do work out some sort of deal where he ends up with the Phillies. I just can't see him playing somewhere else. But, hey, look, I mean, crazier things have certainly happened. So
I'm telling you, Chicago doesn't bring back Kyle Tucker.
Well, then Philly should try and go after Kyle Tucker.
And say screw Schwarber.
Wow. We'll cross that bridge when we get to the
offseason. That sounds rude to say. I don't mean that. I love Kyle Schwarber.
We've still got a month of the season left and then hopefully a lot of playoff baseball as well. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Kyle Forsini and Francisco Rojas filling in this morning for Ruben Amaro Jr. and Devin Caney. Taking your calls on the Phillies, 215-592-9494. Has the Braves series lifted your spirits at all on the Phillies, or are you still down and out about that Mets series? You feel like that is a sign that the Phillies can't make a deep playoff run. Your thoughts on that? 215-592-9494. Fran, before the break, we mentioned that there was some Nick Castellanos audio as well as some Rob Thompson audio that we were going to play for you guys this segment. I want to go to the Nick Castellanos audio first because I think this is a fascinating back and forth between him and reporters. I mean, he always wants to give nothing. He'll give you one-word answers. He'll make you feel like you're stupid. Like, it's just kind of the Castellanos way of going about things.
Intriguing interview.
A very intriguing guy. Fails. And this is what Nick Castellanos had to say last night after their win against the Braves.
Kind of adjust to this type of role we might have to get off here, I guess.
Yes.
How do you deal with it?
The best I can.
Yeah.
Had a conversation.
There was no conversation. Papa was the one that told me.
Nick, you spent a lot of time the last 2.5 years working on your mechanics in the outfield. Are you still going through that same sort of pregame drill, and do you think that it's sort of smoothed out the edges that for play like the play you had at the plate today?
Papa and I have come up with a pretty good routine, you know, just to stay sharp on the things that you know, that are important, especially like being engaged in jumps and stuff. It's credit to him. He's pretty good at his job.
Is the easiest way to get through the challenges to sit there and say, hey, you know, this is a team thing. We're all in trying to get through the same goal at the end?
Yes.
So three times during that interview, did he say the word? He just said the answer, yes, to the questions that he was asked. Now, they were asking him about the platoon and whether or not it was frustrating to get switched out in the ninth inning for a defensive replacement. Castellanos, of course, given the answer of yes. And I think that it's finally...
Nick's also, like, to be fair here, I know we're going to get into it. Castellanos is a short answer guy.
Always is. And 100% you're right. But I think it's finally... I mean, we've been calling on this for Rob Thompson for what feels like a couple of years now. Certainly this year, that you've got an opportunity to switch him out in defensive replacement situations in the ninth inning. You want your best outfield out there. Put in Max Kepler or move whoever over to right field who's a better outfielder than Castellanos is.
Absolutely.
And Thompson finally did it last night. Did it. And he's been on the wave of making him a platoon kind of player. I get that you still have to manage that. You're not going to sit Castellanos 3 or 4 days in a row. I just don't see that happening. But He has been one of the worst graded defensive outfielders all season. His OPS is one of the lowest in baseball since the All-Star break. I mean, he's been just a flat-out replacement kind of level MLB player. He has not been good. So I'm glad Thompson has finally started to make this decision where, you know, you don't have your spot guaranteed every day. You haven't earned it.
Yeah, and I really want to hear what Thompson has to say about this too. But by the way, talking about like, and I'm sure Castellanos has definitely worked on his defense. The results aren't there. The results aren't there. Yes, he had a great throw last night.
Did make
night,
a good throw last night and got behind the ball, which was nice to see.
But metrics also bad. Negative like 13 defensive run save, like negative 12 month out. That's above average. With Trey, at least Trey, the results have been there. Like Trey's talked about, he works with what's his face? Kevin Long, not Kevin Long.
Bobby Dickerson?
Yes, Bobby Dickerson. And they work every day and the results have been there. He's been very good. So big difference there. You could talk about you worked on it, but it has not gotten better. Great throw last night, but still has not gotten better. But Thompson put, well, I wanted to listen to this Thompson audio too. So, Lewis, if you could cue up the Rob Thompson, this was him talking about replacing Castellanos late in the game.
Nick made one of the last outs in the eighth inning, so you made the sub for him. It's something you haven't done as much lately. What made you want to go for it this time?
Because that situation hasn't come up, to tell you the truth.
Was it something that he was open to? Obviously, there's the situation earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think we're all at the point now where we're all in. And whatever is best for the team to win a game that night, we're all in. Check your ego at the door and let's go.
I love that from Rob.
It's amazing.
I love that. That's what we want to hear. A team that we don't necessarily like believe in right now. That's the type of mindset I hope that they're going to take with them in September. Like check ego at the door. Let's freaking go. And that's what Thompson did. With that move last night, that's what I want from this team because they don't really have that mindset. Let's go.
Rule with the iron fist. If you feel like you've got to make these replacements and you need to get your best outfield out there for defensive purposes late in the game, check your ego out the door. You got to be all in. This is probably the last hurrah for this core. You have to think that they all feel that way because of the fact that they're all getting up there in age. This is their fourth opportunity to go there and try and do it. I know we've talked about the fact that we're skeptical about them, but the fact of the matter is they're five up in the division and then they're nine into a playoff spot right now. Like this team is going to make the playoffs. A weak National League outside of the playoff teams all but ensures that. I mean, I think there's only one other team in the NL above 500 that's not in the playoff picture right now, and that's Cincinnati, who's played some terrible baseball as of late. So like you're going to have an opportunity to get the job done. Check your ego out the door and find a way to get it done.
And this is cool. Thompson said that, and I'd love to hear Rob Thompson say that. But it can't just be, okay, you win these two games against Atlanta. You play your best baseball now, going into September, play your best baseball, and show us that you're going to check your ego out the door when it comes playoff time. Bryce Harper, probably not. Let's be honest. Bryce, big ego guy. Probably, you think he's a little jealous of Kyle Schwarber right now? He's getting all the love? Probably a little bit. Maybe a conversation that everyone wants to talk about, but probably not. But this is a chance where, like, A.J. Brown, right? A.J. Brown checks his ego at the door, says,
always.
You know what? I'm not getting 10 to 12 catches for 300 yards, two touchdowns in the playoffs, but I got to do what's best for the team. And if that's Saquon Barkley rushing for 150, 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns so this team can go win a Super Bowl, that's what the Eagles did. They checked their egos at the door. They checked that in week five during the bye. The Phillies need to do that late in the season now, in September. They need to do that now. They need to take a page out of Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, all these guys. They need to do that now. They don't need to, no waiting. And I love that Rob Thompson said that.
215-592-9494. Kyle and Fran with you till 10 a.m. this morning. Has the Braves series, these two games, 19-4 win on Thursday night, 2-1 win last night against Atlanta. Have those games lifted your spirits on the Phillies, make you feel a lot better? Or was that Mets series that we saw at the beginning of the week, the debacle that happened up at Citi Field, was that to you a sign of what is to come in the playoffs for this team? Again, 215-592-9494. And Fran, we talked a lot about the offense and the fact that they went virtually non-existent in that series against the Mets. You know, game one, they didn't get a hit after the fourth inning. They went up 3-0 in that game. Offense goes lifeless. Game two, you were a lifeless offense for a while. You get those two runs, and all of a sudden, you're up the lead, and then the Mets come storming back and get like nine hits in a row, it felt like. Make it a 5-2 ball game, and the Phillies chip away. They finally come back and tie that game, and then it all culminates in game three when you get shut out. You lose the game 6-0. There was one hit through the first seven innings of the game. It was brutal to watch. But I think what goes a little bit, it gets a little overshadowed in that series, was the fact that their pitching was not good either. Sanchez in game one gets spotted a 3-0 lead, gives up five earned runs. He completely implodes. game two, Lizardo, who seemed like, you know, the umpire was squeezing him a little bit for sure, but I never want to blame anything on the umpire. I think that stuff goes both ways.
I think Lizardo did, though.
I think he did. Ejected. Of course, gets ejected as he's coming out of that game, but he unravels in, what, the fourth or fifth inning of that game? I forget which one it was. And then Taiwan in game three wasn't great. You know, he unravels, I think it was the fourth inning of that one, and gives up all those runs. And then all of a sudden it feels like, you know, in a series at Citi Field, when you go down 3-0, it feels like you're down 10-0. Yep. It feels like that's just insurmountable at that point. Yeah. So when you give up three runs and Taiwan does that in the third, you know, that's where you feel like you lost the game right there. The Phil's offense has no life to be able to come back. And the pitching didn't do it for him that series.
Yeah, and I just want to go back real quick to, like, I know we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but when Bader hit that home run, it was like, oh, this is a monster moment. This is awesome. We all knew in the back of our mind, like, they're just going to find a way to lose this game right now. That's kind of how I felt game four.
And I was begging them to prove me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're doing. We're all begging. Like, tell us that we're wrong. Tell us that you show us why you're still supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball. And, you know, it goes back to game four last year against New York. They had a 1-0 lead, right? And then, you know, Ranger somehow gets to his, what, 4 or 5 innings and allowed a lot of
Ranger walked the tightrope last night. Remember the tightrope he walked in game four?
That's what I'm saying.
It was like every inning at base loaded.
But then you knew, like, when that Lindor grand slam happened,
it was over.
Like, you knew that. It was kind of like the same thing with, like, the Bader home run, and you're like, okay, they came back in the ninth, and Johan Duran, who's been great here, you know, I don't know, just it's something about the Phils against the Mets, too. It's just something.
Well, that's the other thing, too, was Duran coming in the ninth inning of game two of that series. Didn't record an out. I think it was one of the
four straight hits.
Didn't record an out. I don't know that he's ever done that in his career.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Gotten, you know, been a ghost on the stat sheet. Didn't even get through a third of an inning and gives up four
Mets
hits and a run.
Everything.
That's the other thing that was driving me nuts was, you know, Duran throwing 102, and I know that he was throwing a lot of splits in that game, so he wasn't going with the fastball as much. I don't know what the deal was with that, but the exit velocities from Nimmo, from Alonso, you know, those balls were all hit well over 100 miles an hour. I mean, they were squaring up Duran for the first time that I think we've ever seen.
Were
I don't know. It's just weird. No, of course, I don't
Lewis,
think they're cheating.
Were they cheating? Let's get the tiebreaker.
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's a no.
But the Phillies are just can't beat the Mets.
They were the only team to actually be able to square up the ball on him. I know the Nats had him blow a save, and I know that they got two runners on in a night after that, and he hasn't quite been the guy that he was prior to getting hit on the foot. But still, I mean, the velocity is still there. The location being a little bit in the middle of the plate is one of the more concerning things. It was nice to see him last night have a nice 1-2-3 lockdown, 2-strikeout save as well. Because Duran's come into a lot of these games and just consistently gives up contact. And for a guy that has the nasty stuff that he does, and for a guy who throws 102 to 103 miles an hour, you wouldn't expect to see the contact rate be that high against him. That part is frustrating. And seeing the Mets just square him up was just another, like, this is Phil's Mets. This is what happens.
This is what I'm saying. Like, again, goes back to, like, Wheeler in game one of last year. It's Wheeler gives you an incredible performance. Offense can't do anything. And now you're looking at this like you're not surprised. Like, oh, Johan Duran is one of the best players in baseball. Oh, of course they get four straight hits off of him. Because this is how the series goes. Oh, yeah, Harrison Bader, former Met, big two-run home run, tie game. Oh, this is how this goes. It's fine. They're going to lose. I don't mean
just
that.
incredibly infuriating. 215-592-9494. It's Kyle and it's Fran and it's Lewis Coco producing, asking you, has the Braves series lifted your spirits? Those two games, 19 runs in game one, 4 Kyle Schwarber home runs, and I still sat there cold.
They clearly haven't lifted our spirits.
I still watched that game and I said, why couldn't you have done this against the Mets? Just do it one game. Lose 2 out of 3.
But
something against
the
Mets.
You still feel bad, though. But no, you feel a little better. Sweet. Big deal. I know.
Still didn't lift my spirits as much as I wanted it to. So has this Braves series lifted your spirits at all on the Phils, or are you still down?
Real quick,
it's hard to
lift your spirits, though. You're an emotional guy.
Well,
how'd you feel after the Seattle series?
I do certainly live and die with this team more than most.
I know.
And I am not pleasant to watch Phils games with. But after the Seattle series, I was feeling pretty good. But again, Seattle is an American League team. It's like this team, the Phils, when they play somebody that they know you might face in the playoffs, or you know that it's just in their head, and that's what it feels like the Mets are. It feels like that there's some bad juju with the Phils. The Mets feel great about it, and there's some level of they know they're in their head, and the Phils know the Mets are in their head. You know, it's like the worst combination. Yeah,
same thing with Phillies Braves.
It's really, really confusing. So I certainly felt a lot worse after the Mets series than I did feel good about the Seattle series.
Because
Seattle just feels like a random team that's coming in here. And I don't know if that makes sense for those out there listening.
Random, yes and no. I mean, Seattle's a good team. I think they have a shot in the American League.
Of course they do. But they're just they're a team that you're going to face once a year. You don't really think much about Seattle. If you go to Seattle and you lose a series, who cares? There's no implications in the standings or anything. It's not like, you know, you need the tiebreaker over Seattle, right? But, you know, the Mets already have the tiebreaker over here. They're 7-2 against the Phils this season. You could sweep that four-game series and still lose the season series. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Kyle Forsini and Francisco Rojas. We are here for Ruben Amaro Jr. and Devin Caney. They'll be back next week, but we got you till 10 a.m. this morning. 215-592-9494. A little Phils check-in. We've got about a month of the season left. Phils 9 games into a playoff spot right now. They will be in October. I feel confident saying that. I don't know why I would say, like Joe Giglio did, that the division is over. But I would say that this team will be in the playoffs. We don't have anything to worry about in that regard. But a little Phils check-in. How do you feel on this team? Have the two games that they've played against Atlanta, has that changed your perception of them? You feel good after winning two games against the Braves at home, or are you still hung up on that Mets series and you feel like that was a bad omen and a sign of things to come? 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phones and talk to Andy, who's calling in for Manny Young and wants to talk some Phils. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you, Andy?
I love the show. I'm not really a caller type. I'm just calling in with some positivity.
Appreciate
calling
it.
Calling in with some positivity. The point is,
there we go.
Someone mentioned the definition of insanity. We have a team that keeps breaking into the playoffs. It's terrible. It sucks. But I love this team. And just like your show, I think we're coming off an Eagles win with a championship. We got to get behind these guys. We pulled in Bader. He's made some slip ups. We have Duran. We got spiders crawling around on our screens. And, you know, a couple people mentioned we're on our last run here, possibly. But this is a good story, and I love it. And I feel like, it's going to be heartbreaking if they don't make it here. But we do have a team that can win the World Series. I'm very happy about that, and that's what I'm getting behind. So I'll probably run. That's all I wanted to say. I think we need to get behind the team. That's all I'm saying.
Appreciate the phone call,
Andy. I think we're all, to a certain extent, behind the team. I know what he's probably asking for. He's probably asking for us to be a little more positive, which is what I said on the screen. He's probably asking for us to be a little more positive on the team. I just think it's really hard to right now, man. It's really hard to, especially, I know it was just one series in the Mets series, but it just brings flashbacks to, we've already talked about this, to last year, and I can't help but think like that the same thing's going to happen again. But here's where I am, and Kyle, we've already kind of talked about this. Like, prove us wrong. That's where I am. Of course, we're going to, Kyle, like you, like all of us, we're living and dying with, you know, every game. It's been a roller coaster ride, but we're also invested in the team. It's just it's hard to not think about what's happened in the playoffs the last couple of years and be like, yeah, let's go, we're gonna go on a run. Like, it doesn't feel that way.
It's really hard. You know, it's harder to get to that point now. Once October rolls around and we're at the end of September, you know, I'm going to be all in on them, and I'm going to be absolutely crushed if this team doesn't go win a World Series, and if they get bounced in the first, second, or even if they get to the World Series and lose, like, that's going to hurt. I think it'll be a lot easier to get up for it once the playoffs roll around, because at that point, you kind of throw everything out the window. You say, why not us? You know, why can't the Phillies go out there and do it? But right now, when you still got a month of the season left, and you saw how they played against the Mets, it's a lot easier to be down on them. And I think that's kind of where the negativity stems from.
Are we going to be saying why not us if we have to see the Mets in the first round?
No,
again?
Probably not. I'm going to be saying why us at that point. Why did you choose that the Mets had to play the Phils in the playoffs? I'm going to be honest. That's how I would feel.
Why did this happen to us?
What it feels like. Because
we were talking about this before the show, jokingly but not jokingly. Should they not get the bye if they have to
get the 3 seeds, so you probably face the Mets in the first round and you can't go to Citi Field?
Right. So it's all 3 games are at the back.
Look, I mean, the Mets already stole one from you last year at home. I still don't feel great about them at CBP either. But I'll tell you this before we go back to the phones is T-Mac said it on the broadcast two nights ago against Atlanta when the Phils were hitting all those home runs in the first inning. And then Schwarber hits his second home run. And T-Mac was saying, you know, it's nice to be home. And I agree with him. It's nice for the Phils to come back to CBP where they feel comfortable. You're not playing every game in the playoffs at home.
No.
And I know that the basic, you know, rule of thumb for baseball is go .500 on the road. You know, be a good team at home, go .500 on the road, you'll be a good baseball team.
Yeah.
They're basically .500 on the road. They're 34-35. Prior to the Mets series, they were above .500.
Yeah.
But still, that going to those confines, going to Citi Field, having that embarrassing performance, against the team that what felt like a playoff series. And this team still's got to go to L.A. in the month of September. So you're going to find out a lot about them there as well.
Yep.
Because you're not going to face Cal Quantrill at home at CBP
and Milwaukee,
in the playoffs.
By the way. Milwaukee,
Milwaukee will be another good test as well. Mm-hmm. That's a good point because that's coming up starting on Monday. That's going to be a really interesting series to see how they play against them. Milwaukee, the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah. Frauds, but
I thought that too, but man, they just keep chugging.
I know they have.
They
we'll
just
see.
Keep on winning games. They've got
the
young talent. They've got good pitching.
They're a good team.
We'll see. But my point is, if the Atlanta series is fine and it's fun and it's great and the Schwarber 4 home runs was phenomenal. Loved watching that. Was hoping he would hit 5. But doing it at home and only being a team that figures out the offense at home, that's frustrating to me because you're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs. Let's go back to the phones, though. Talk to Cade, who's calling in from Warminster, who's got some optimism on the Phillies. What's up, Cade?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you, man?
Can't complain. I think the Brewers are scary, number one. I think they're the smallest team in baseball on average. But I think they just play small ball, man. I think those teams are really hard to beat. They're disciplined. And regarding the Mets, man, they just have our number as far as how they pitch us. I don't know who was on the line yesterday, but he was talking about pitch sequencing and how the Mets treat the Phillies. And they pitch them perfectly.
They do.
Heavy off the speed.
Yep.
The Phillies are a fastball-hitting team. I mean, the fastball pitchers, they need to be perfect with the Phillies. And if they miss those fastballs, then that's when you're going to see guys go – you know, hit 5 homers in a game. But when you have a team and a pitching staff that, I mean, the Mets don't have the most stellar pitching staff, but they can be less perfect with those off-speed pitches.
Yeah.
And I think that they know that. I mean, it's been a year and a half that they have our number. So I'm really hoping we just don't face the Mets in the playoffs. But as far as, like, teams like the Dodgers, like, they've gone on dry spells this year and lost 5 or 6 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason why we can't go and win a World Series. I mean, losing Zach Wheeler is terrible. Yeah, I mean, he's our guaranteed ace, and he's almost a guaranteed win in the playoffs. He has a sub-1 ERA in the playoffs. But, you know, with that being said, we just kind of have to go and expect to hit the playoffs on a high note. And if not, then, you know, that's when our losing probability kind of probably skyrockets.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying there, Cade, and I don't know if this makes a whole lot of sense, but this is just the way that I feel about it because you're right in the terms of the Mets pitchers know how to pitch the Phillies hitters and the whole deal. I just hate having a team, especially a team that's in your division, that we've got to sit at home every day and say, I hope we don't play this team in the playoffs. Like, I want the Phillies to be able to assert their dominance over whoever you could play in the playoffs. But having that weak spot against a specific team that, if the season ended today, there's a good chance you'd play in the playoffs, that's what drives me nuts, is you've got a team that feels like they're your kryptonite. No matter what you do, they always have your number, if that makes sense.
No, I agree 100%. And it always raises the question, well, why do the Mets, out of all the teams, have our number, right? Like, why is it they don't have the best pitching staff, they don't have the best bullpen, but why is it that they seem – and I think you guys said it earlier, it's 100% in the Phillies' heads. I mean, I don't think there's really any denying that. But how the quality of this team is going to be determined on their ability to overcome that adversity. And, I mean, listen, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know. But I think – I'm hopeful. You know, I don't know if I should be hopeful, but I'm going to be hopeful for the time being. But, you know, we just got to get in the playoffs, and hopefully we're hitting that high note like we did in 2022. I mean, if this team's hot, and it's going to be hard to be hot for 3 or 4 straight series.
Yeah, that's
but
the issue.
If they are hot, we're one of the best offensive teams in baseball.
No
so
doubt.
We're scary to other pitching staffs, but it's which team are you going to get, right? This team's almost binary. It's either they put up 8 runs a game or they put up 1 run a game.
Yeah,
so
it's the Jekyll and Hyde that's the most frustrating part, and Kate appreciates the phone call.
And I mean, the last time they had a good series in the playoffs was against the Atlanta Braves, a team that they knew they could beat because they knew they had that mental edge.
Team that, and Strider, who they hit in game four of that series, fastball pitcher.
Yep.
Guy that had, throws the heat.
1,000%.
And they were able to hit home runs.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, Strider's nasty. He's still, he's dealt with injuries lately, but... still one of the nastier pitchers in baseball, but they knew they could hit him. He's a fastball pitcher. Like, they knew they could hit him.
I loved knowing how much they tormented the Braves back then, and to have another team torment you now, and we feel what Atlanta felt during that.
It's literally flip flop.
It makes me
it
so
went
annoyed.
From Arizona, a team that was playing with house money, that they shouldn't even been there. 84 games, and now it's flip flop 2 years later, and we're going into this saying, oh, we have to see the Mets. Oh my gosh! Like, when's the last time we really? It's really frustrating. You playing country on this program?
What are you doing, man? This is country.
No, it's not.
It's country music. Kyle likes country music. Lewis apparently does, too. It's fine.
I am not a fan of country music. And this is not country music.
Yeah, it basically is. Yeah, it's country music. It's Belmont. Anyway. Dude,
Pierce the Veil.
Should have came back with All Time Low. No, what's better? Kyle's jamming. We're jamming like out it. Here, apparently. I'm not really jamming out, but we're jamming out. Good morning. Saturday morning. The Phils have won a couple of games, but we're still feeling down on this team. I'm sorry. But pick us up. I see a couple of people on the line right now, Kyle, that want to pick us up.
I love it.
I like it, though. I want some positivity.
I need the positivity.
You definitely need it. You were crying the other night. You texted me. You sent me this voice message. I can't do it with this team. And then Kyle Schwarber hits 4 home runs. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm fine.
I wish I was fine. Yeah. I wish that brought me up as much as it should have. It was bad.
Yeah, but
I was down bad after that.
You
Met
were
series.
Down bad.
That
dude,
was bad.
And you texted me. You were like, hey, you want to come watch the Phils game tonight? I was like, nah, I can't deal with you, man. Yeah. Anyway, Lewis, would you watch Phillies game with him?
Kyle? You don't want to.
He's telling me no, so yeah. No.
Yeah, don't.
It's not fun.
Don't do it.
I feel bad for people
His
that
His girlfriend is forced to watch it with
him. I was forced to go to a bar with my friends on Wednesday. She said, you need to do something else other than watch the game. I went to the bar and watched the game and lost my mind there. So,
okay, well, yeah. At least, yeah, publicly.
Out of the house. Get out of the house.
He yes. publicly loses his mind instead of privately.
It's not good.
Anyway, but we are sitting here on a Saturday morning talking about the Philadelphia Phillies and whether or not these last two games, you know, Phils scoring 19 runs a couple of nights ago and then a little differently last night. 2-1 victory. Alec Boehm sack fly last night. Bullpen, really good job behind Ranger. And they win a couple of games straight here after the Mets series. But are you feeling better about the Phillies and their playoff chances, you know, after these couple of games against Atlanta? Or is that Mets series in your head, which we're you know, me and Kyle and Lewis, too, it feels that way right now, or this Mets team kind of feels like they have their number a little bit, Kyle. But let's get straight back to the phones. We want to get your calls in on the Philadelphia Phillies right now. Chuck in Cherry Hill has been waiting patiently. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Hey, morning, guys. Happy Labor Day.
Morning, Chuck. You too.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you too. What'd you think?
So I went into a research. We do, our company does a lot of data analysis, and I do that. And so I try to figure out, okay, who wins the World Series? You got to keep it relevant to post-2000. The game changes so much every 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it comes out. And then I'll give you a couple examples to back up what I'm saying. The team that wins the World Series on average post-2000 is the number 6 offense. Picture that. And the number 8 ranked ERA, which is shocking to people that hear this. And the prevailing metric is the number 5 defense. So if you weight the 3 of them, you say, wow, there's more weight towards defense than pitching and offense. That's almost disbelievable.
Come on, Chuck. Tell me the Phillies rank 6, 8, and 5 here.
Well, yeah. This is what a shock is. Go back to Texas, Arizona. We're only going back 2 years. I think that's 23. Right? Yeah, the 18th. Check this out. This is hilarious. You'll win a lot of water cooler bets over the Labor Day weekend. The number 18th ranked pitch, Texas, played horrifying. The number 15th ranked RPG, runs per game, 22 ERA in Arizona. And you say, oh, that must be an anomaly. But it's not. Now, that's one of the extremes of that 25-year analysis. But it's so random, is the bottom line, that the Phillies, I'm not going to say, are perfectly situated in that randomness, because right now they weighed out a little bit too low, but they are coming up in pitching. Their run production's been about 4.76 almost all year, just like last year's team. It's amazing, the composite index, how almost identical the 25-24 version is. But it is so random come postseason, unlike the other two major sports. No offense to hockey there.
Hockey's very random.
You talked about the Brewers. Here we go.
Yeah.
Even though the Brewers are 11th OPS, that's low,
mm-hmm.
then you go back and weight them back up. Second stolen bases, check that, great. Okay. They don't strike out, 6th best. They walk a lot, 5th best. ERA's 3. Their K ERA is great. So all of a sudden, everything else the Brewers do, they play smart, they hit cuts, they take the extra base first to third, they score from second, and the guys that come in from the bullpen, you're not going to believe this, four of them are less than 7 hits per 9 innings. That I couldn't find another team that had that. Less than 7 hits per 9 innings, 4 relievers.
Yeah.
They're stingy, giving up hits. Now, does that mean you're going to win it? No.
Right. I was going to say, the only thing is, Chuck, and good stuff there, Chuck. Chuck, thanks for the call. Like, the Brewers are a very good team, and I think you've, I feel like you believe them more than I do.
They're very good.
They have scrappy players like Terang, like Joey Ortiz, Caleb Durbin. They're all good players. Just their formula hasn't worked maybe yet in the postseason. And they're a team for me that they need to prove it first. So I understand the randomness. I understand all the numbers he's bringing up there. But I mean, the Brewers are a team that, I don't want to get too much into Major League Baseball here, but outside of the Phils, but the Brewers are still a team that has to prove it to me.
Well, the whole deal of being good with small ball, playing smart defense, having good pitching, all that matters. But when it comes to the playoffs and what it's felt like and what the stats have bared out over the last however many years, hit the most home runs in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Be a team that can bomb the ball out of the yard, hit home runs against good pitching, you're going to win the World Series. You saw Texas do it a couple of years ago. Texas went in, like he was just talking about, one of the worst stretches of their season. They had lost a bunch of games in a row, blew the division, got hot, started hitting home runs, and eventually won the World Series. So that's why I think a team like Milwaukee struggles and why they haven't been able to get the job done. Those cute, small market, fundamentally sound baseball teams never seem to
Tampa
Bay, exactly. Yeah. Even the Diamondbacks from a couple
Guardians
of years ago.
Guardians still haven't won a World Series.
Well.
They've gotten close. They have gotten close, but they haven't necessarily gotten the job done. So
It's like Kansas City and the Guardians both last year. I mean, they played the Yanks, and the Yankees were just out there hitting home runs, and those teams just couldn't compete with that. And if you're going to give up the home runs, you're going to hit the home runs, you're going to end up winning the series and possibly the World Series. But as far as the randomness goes, Fran, I mean, is it random that the Phillies always go ice cold at a certain point?
No.
I almost feel like the randomness doesn't affect them, because when teams get better pitching in the playoffs, you're going to be facing the best pitching of the season, and teams know how to pitch you. That randomness kind of goes out the window. It's like they know how to get to your weak spot.
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000%. I mean, we saw it with the Mets. I mean, even the Diamondback series, Brandon Pfaat, Gallen.
They wrote the book.
I mean, Kevin Ginkle in the back end of that bullpen. I just remember it.
My
goodness.
Paul Sewald.
Yeah.
Nightmares.
Yeah. But like you said, they wrote the book, and I'm sure teams are going to be looking at that heading into the playoffs. Whoever they face this year is going to look at, this is what the Phillies do offensively. That is their weakness, and that's what they've done in the playoffs last couple of years, and this is how you beat them. And that's something we're going to be looking towards this playoffs and seeing if the Phillies can right the ship this time around. Let's get back to the phones. We got Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, great caller. What's up, Ken? What's going on, man?
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Ken?
Good to hear you guys.
Yeah, you too, man.
So, you're going to have to pack a lunch if you're going to argue with Chuck about baseball stats. I can say that. he is deep into that.
Yes, he is.
The Brewers, I will just say that, because I'm not calling to talk about the Brewers, I will just say this.
Yeah.
The Brewers play the game the right way. So I would not just dismiss them.
No, of course not.
Yeah, they have to prove it. Well, guess who else has to prove it?
Yep.
Our team has to prove it.
1,000%. Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel any better about the last two nights, and I didn't feel any worse about the previous three. You can't ride this roller coaster for 6 months and come out the other end with any shred of sanity. So, What the Phillies showed me in Flushing was that they are the team that I thought they were, and so are the Mets. So to expect that this same core of players, because they really didn't make any fundamental changes, was going to be any different in terms of how they approach things at the plate and all those things. The Mets, better than any team in Major League Baseball, have figured out how to expose the fundamental flaws that the Phillies have in construction of their roster. Sean Manaea, looks like Sandy Koufax against the Phillies.
Yep.
And he looks,
getting his groove back, yeah.
He looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy against everybody else. I mean, so every team has one of those teams, really, where they just have their number for whatever reason. Back, it used to be Arizona. The Phillies never used to win in Arizona. No matter how bad Arizona was, the Phillies
There's a house of horrors out there.
Yeah, and San Francisco, right? The Phillies could not beat the Giants. The Giants might win 9 games all year, all 9 of them would be against the Phillies.
That's right. What it feels like out there in San Francisco, yeah.
It's one of those things. But, ultimately, this team is going to succeed or fail based upon their ability to drive in runners in scoring position.
Yep.
And so if I'm looking at things that make me say, yeah, it's going to be a big hill to climb. I believe the Phillies are last in baseball in batting average with the bases loaded. So, okay. you can't strand a small village on the bases in the postseason.
And to your point, Ken, in that series against the Mets, the Phillies went 3-for-22.
I was going to say,
the Mets went 21-of-37.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Mets were the complete opposite. That was the difference in the series for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, the Mets hit 500, 560 or whatever with runners in scoring position in 3 games against the Phillies this week. Mm-hmm. And then, they'll hit 160 for the next 30 games against everybody else. Yeah. So, familiarity breeds contempt. Ultimately, if the Mets make the playoffs, the Phillies are going to have to beat good teams to win a World Series anyway. So to kind of wring your hands, I hope it's not the Mets. They're going to have to beat somebody.
Yeah.
And if the Mets, if the Dodgers are the third seed and the Mets wind up playing the Dodgers and the Dodgers eliminate the Phillies, then, at some point the Phillies are going to have to beat the Dodgers to get to the World Series.
For sure.
1,000%.
It's just the way it is. So, ultimately, this core is going to have to figure out a way to put together good at-bats. Trey Turner is going to have to, I love Trey. I'm not bashing Trey, but Trey Turner is going to have to figure out a way to just not wave at that up and out off the plate pitch that for some reason in Flushing, he just cannot stop himself from swinging at.
Yeah. And Ken, thanks for the call. Great call, by the way. And I mean, Trey is someone we're going to be looking at come postseason time. Is he going to be able to get the job done? I mean, I'm thinking about whichever game it was against the Mets. I mean, I think it was the Bader home run. I think he had a chance to win that game late in the game. I could be wrong.
In the Bader game, they had the top of the order up against Diaz, and he went 1-2-3 7 pitches.
So Trey's going to be someone we're looking at. He's not been good in the postseason.
Trey is so frustrating because he's one of the better players in the National League this year. I think he leads the National League in hits still. And he either makes baseball look so effortless and so easy, or he makes it look like the hardest thing you could ever do on planet Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, and there doesn't feel like there's an in-between.
Yeah, literally. And it's both sides, too. It's like it's offensively and it's defensively.
Yeah.
It's. I remember the game against Milwaukee earlier this year where he botched that. I think it was a double play ball he should have had, and they would have gotten out of the inning. They probably would have won that game, and he makes that play, and he botches it, and they lose that game. Like, it's that, or it's, he gets hot. He has a 4-for-5 game. He has a couple RBIs and something like that, and then it's the opposite with the defense. Like I mentioned, he's metrically been so good defensively this year, and he's improved in a lot of ways, but then you get those botched plays where you kind of think about it in the back of your mind, like, do you want that? And I know I was producing the Midday Show not too long ago. We were talking about the NL East being over. We were talking about Trey, and Joe Giglio asked the question of, Trey's been great defensively this year, but do you still want the ball hit to him late in the game in the playoffs? Like, I can't lie. I don't know if I do. So
for
it's
sure.
Almost like kind of the conversation with Tylan Walker this year. It's like, Tylan's been great, but do we really trust him, in a big spot in the playoffs or anything like that? Probably not.
Agreed. So, and as far as Trey, in that series against Seattle, he gets like 5 hits in 1 game. I forget what it was. And then you go to Citi Field and it's like it just completely non-existent.
Disappears. And it
makes
like
it look effortless and he's an MVP candidate and then makes it look like he has nothing left.
Yeah.
It's
all right,
so frustrating.
Let's get one more call in before the break. Steve in Egg Harbor. What's up, Steve? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, I'll tell you, it doesn't give me any more confidence that they've won the last 2 games against Atlanta. But also, I'm still optimistic about this team. And okay. I'll tell you why. You guys are too young to remember this because you guys are little children compared to me. I'm 62. 1983, Dodgers beat us 11 out of 12 games in a regular season, and we smoked them in the NL Championship Series. Went on to lose to Baltimore 4-1 in the World Series. So anything can happen. That's the beauty of the game. And number two, we're due in New York. We're not going to keep losing. We're not going to lose every game for the rest of our lives.
Problem is, it feels like we've been due for like a year and a half here, yeah. Steve.
So it is what it is. I mean, and let's face it, it's the beauty of the game of baseball. You never know what's going to happen. The other night, Schwarber hits 4 home runs. Did anybody ever expect to see that go into the game? Of course not. It's just the way things are. It is the ebb and flows of the game. I mean, I coach this game. I coach kids and all that kind of stuff. So you see that, you know, that things can happen one day, and then the next day you look like you're the worst team in the league. That's just the way it is. And we have the team to do it. We do. Are we going to do it? I don't think we're going to do it. I don't think we're going to win it. But, you know, like a true fan, I'm going to sit there and root for my team. We're going to get in there, which means we do have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I guess, again, technically they do have a shot because, I mean, talent-wise, yes. I mean, one would say that. But, like, we're still scarred. I mean, at least, I guess, maybe not as much as you, Steve. I'm still scarred from the last couple of postseasons. And looking at this Mets series, it doesn't make me – it brings flashbacks. It does. So I don't know, man. I'm still – I wish I was as optimistic as you. I just don't see – I understand you're going back to 83 and stuff like that. I just – again, the Phillies feel like they're still in their own head. And again, the Mets just feels like they have their number right now.
I'll tell you why there's another reason I'm optimistic. A lot of people don't want to go back to this series. But the series against Arizona, okay, we're up 2-0. We go there. Games 3 and 4 that we lost there. Mm-hmm. Thompson blew that series. I don't care what anybody says. When you bring in Kirkering, a rookie who was bought up in like late August, and then follow him with Kimbrel and lose Game 3, and you do the exact same thing the next night, Kirkering, Kimbrel, and we lose Game 4. That cost us the series. We never would have had to come back to Philly. And I understand people say, oh, well, we still had 6 and 7 in Philly. We should have won it. The momentum swung in Games 3 and Games 4. That's just the way it is. We win that series. I think we win the World Series because I don't think we lose the Texas.
Yeah, Steve, but the problem is, Steve, real quick, like the offense was paid a gazillion dollars to put up more the production that they did and whatever games they did late in that, the second half of the Arizona series. So I understand, yeah, Kirkering didn't get it done and Kimbrel didn't get it done either, but those are two guys, and the offense needed to come up bigger than just the bullpen in those spots. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if you remember that series, we did score runs in Games 3 and Games 4. It's just, I mean, making decisions like he made in that. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I was screaming at my radio. I'll never forget that night, particularly in Game 4. Me and my son were on the phone listening to it, and when they said bringing in Kimbrel and Kirkering and then Kimbrel, I'm like, dude. And I said to my son, if we lose this game, we lose the series. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was just so predictable that was what was going to happen. And, yeah, I understand. Our offense does go cold. I don't want to see Castellanos in there at all, in my opinion.
I don't either.
I wish they had and I've said it all along, I've been saying it for the last couple of years, Sosa should get an opportunity to start. I wish they put this guy, at least try him in the outfield, because I know that he did play there a couple games this year. That guy comes through a lot of times for this team, and I wish they'd give him the opportunity, which they never do. The guy's a 260 part-time player. He hits 260. Imagine if he played every day. Usually when you play every day, you usually do a little bit better than that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Steve, thanks for the call, man. Great call.
The Sosa thing is interesting because they did try him in the outfield. I think he only played one game there. Was that
left
game in
field?
Atlanta early in the season?
It was the Rojas
field,
thing. It was the botched
where there
ball.
Was, yeah. So his first fly ball, he robs a home run, which was insane.
Right,
he robs a home run, his first play ever in left field. And then he has the drop in between him with Rojas, which cost him runs and the whole thing. They never went back to it. And now they know far more than we do, and there may be a reason for that. They didn't like the way that he was projecting out there or whatever. You know, they didn't think that he could end up doing it. But, you know, getting him everyday action with that possibility, I kind of disagree that, you know, if you play him every day, he'd be better. I almost think that Sosa is the weird mixture of him being a platoon type guy and him not getting overexposed is what leads to him being relatively successful. Mm-hmm. But he's somebody that I do like seeing when he's out there, and I do have confidence in him when he's at the plate, and I don't group him into the same grouping of guys where when they go cold, they all go cold. I always feel like he has the opportunity to be some sort of spark plug. He's got the speed, he can hit home runs, and he's like a dog. He just goes out there and plays hard.
Yeah, it seems like every time Sosa gets like plugged into the lineup, that
something
happens.
Right, so something happens.
1,000% agree with that. You can't play the same band twice in the same show.
It's not even necessarily the same band. They're just one of the bands.
Don't try.
Come on. You love this song. I'm pandering.
Fire. Yeah, it's not pandering. This is like the Bryce Harper rivalry pack. This is exactly what this is. The wrong type of pandering.
Who are they pandering? Who was he pandering?
He's pandering.
To the Mets?
Kyle, he's pandering. You like the song?
I also like this song.
It's fire. It's fantastic.
I like it.
I'm seeing this band in like 2 weeks.
Bryce Harper is a massive panderer, by the way. Rivalry pack, though, I did not care as much
the
about.
Rivalry
I don't care if he panders to Phillies fans. Don't pander to Mets fans. And he wasn't even pandering to Mets
ridiculous.
Fans. It's just
stupid.
It's a joke.
Especially not when they've got your number. It's
especially
not like you
when
them.
You go. And wasn't he like 1 for 5 or something that game?
I don't even care about that. I don't care if he went 5 for 5 with 5 home runs. Like, I wouldn't care.
You're just awakening the beast. Right?
It's a and he's so worried about the that over going in and just kicking their ass.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Just beat the Mets.
Weird.
It was strange.
It
was
weird.
Very strange.
I'm normally on the side of not, I don't want to get too much of this green on the birds in 1 second. I'm normally on the side of Bryce pandering and what he does.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Because he's also productive, which doesn't make my case about him against the Mets any better. But, like, it's been great, and, like, but this is weird. Like, the rivalry pack's weird. It's odd.
It's odd.
Like, why
I
would
agree.
You think about that?
Because the pandering, like, I'm with you that I have no issue with it. If he's saying he loves the city, loves all this about Philly,
right.
And he doesn't really mean it, but he just says it to make people feel good, what do I care? You know, he's saying that.
And
he's,
how do we know he doesn't really love the
exactly.
city?
Exactly. We have no clue. For all we know is he does genuinely love it, and that's the image that he puts out there. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
The rivalry pack was just very, very odd. It's not the reason they got swept. But it was very, it's a very weird time to do it. Now, had they gone on and swept the Mets, we'd all be saying, right, he was sort of like, this dominance. Is great. It would have been great, right?
What a power move.
The way that it went opposite way just could not have backfired more.
Yeah, we could have been like, oh, Bryce had a great series. Rivalry pack was weird. And then we just brushed it off a little bit.
Well, we would have said, we love the rivalry pack.
I feel like we would have been
You would have said,
let's rock orange, let's get our own rivalry pack. Let's get it too. No, let's not do that.
Well, he's got one for every team in the NL or in the NLE. So he wear it against
that's
every
weird.
Team. Because he posted it that he did, yeah. Did he have it? Did he wear it for either the last two nights?
I didn't notice.
I didn't either.
So maybe he was waiting for them to win first.
Colors.
Maybe he's waiting to go to Atlanta to wear it. That might be it, because that might be the
thing. So maybe going
maybe
into their building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Anyway, 215-592-9494. I mean, if you were still want to talk about the Bryce rivalry pack, that was stupid as heck. Weird. Weird guy for that. Weird guy. He's not a weird guy, but a weird guy for that. It's a weird guy type of move. Still love Bryce. But you want to talk birds?
Let's talk some birds.
We're going on the record because this is our last time me and Kyle hosting before Thursday night. Might get Lewis's prediction, maybe not if he's the music thing.
If I'm good,
so Kyle, I want to get. We're gonna do record player you're most excited to watch,
yes.
And just if you expect them to be great or if you hope for them to be great this season. So I mean, we can even go playoff. Like, where do you think they're going to finish the playoffs? So if you want to do that on the fly here, we can talk about that, but let's do it.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
give me your record first. What
so
do you got?
I've got him at 11-6, which I could see it being better. I don't see it being worse than 11-6. Now, they've got the Dallas game looks far easier now with the whole Micah Parsons trade, the drama that surrounds Dallas, the fact that they've kind of just become the butt of all NFL jokes, which is amazing, but also just bizarre that the team that's usually pretty good in Dallas is all of a sudden just falling apart at the seams. So I've got them obviously beating Dallas. I've got them going 2-2 through their first four. Now, the game at Kansas City, I could see going either way. In Kansas City, the fact that it's not at the link, it's in Kansas City, makes it a little bit harder. I know they won there 2 years ago, but I'll give them the loss to Kansas City. And then, of course, they round out September playing the team that they cannot beat. Their version of the Mets in Tampa Bay, they play them at the end of the month of September. I've got them 2-2 through the first four, but then firing off four straight wins prior to the bye, so they're 6-2. Going win against Denver, win against the Giants, win against Minnesota, win against the Giants again. Then you've got a bye week 9. So 6-2 through the week 9 bye. But I've got him losing to Green Bay coming out of that. And I think what gets lost in the Micah Parsons trade is the fact that he went to another NFC contender. He didn't go to the AFC.
Yeah.
He didn't go to some team that you're not worried about.
Probably
I know that you don't
got
to face him twice a year, but he goes to a team that's a legit threat. And you played him in the playoffs last year. Their defense could not get a pass rush against Jalen Hurts last year. Now you've got Micah Parsons on that team.
Yeah.
Again, love that he's out of the NFC East. Love that he's not on Dallas anymore. Slightly annoyed at where he ended up going.
I am too. Yeah, I 100%. Like you mentioned, I think Green Bay maybe you're sleeping on him a little bit, but like Green Bay's it's still a threat. Like we were, I mean, a year ago we were talking about this team contending for a Super Bowl potentially. I mean, like, okay, yeah, we beat them in the playoffs, but who says they can't? I mean, Jordan Love's still a young quarterback. And now you add Michael Parsons to that team.
I know. The defense is going to be good. So I've got them losing to Green Bay, so that's their third loss. And then I've got losses in Washington at Buffalo. And then I've got kind of a toss-up, this game that they're going to play against Detroit, because it's been talked about for, it feels like, 2 or 3 years now, that those two teams being the top of the NFC, they haven't played Detroit in, I think, 2022. They opened with them, and that was the last time that they've played Detroit.
I think you're right.
That's an interesting game to me, though, because Amon-Ra St. Brown has come out and talked about how they all wanted to play the Eagles. They feel like they're the best team in the NFC. They haven't had an opportunity to prove that. That game's Sunday night at the link. So I've got that one circled before the season even starts of, like, very excited. Now, obviously, you don't know what's terms of injuries and what the health of each team's going to be going into that part of the season, but that's one that I am chomping at the bit to get to right now. That we it's a week 11 game, the 16th of November, Sunday night football against the Detroit Lions. So 11-6, Fran, is my record prediction for this year. Could see it being better. Hope that it's better than 11-6, because 11-6 is a little scarring after 2023 when they had that record. But that's where I've got them.
Yeah, so I'm with you as far as, like, I can't see it being worse than 11-6. I'm going to go 12-5. It's a really tough schedule, but I still do think they're, you know, arguably the best team in football. So I think they're going to find a way to get through the schedule and scrap out 12 wins. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be some tough games here that they're going to, you know, pull out and maybe also lose. But again, I don't think they're going to go 14-3, which was what they did last year. So I'm going to go 12-5. I still think this defense is going to be good, but it's not going to be as good. I think a lot of us think it's not going to be as good as it was last year. Obviously, you know, the best in football, but I still think it's going to be good. And I think the offense is going to be elite. And I think they're going to manage a way to get 12 wins. They're going to be first in the NFC East. And Lewis, do you want to? I'll allow it.
Do you want to give us your prediction?
Yeah, I have them 13-4. I okay. think the one game that to your point, Kyle, and even ESP said it. He thinks the Packers are now the biggest genuine threat to the Eagles.
They're
in the
a legit
NFC.
Threat for
they,
sure.
They certainly are. I mean, adding Micah Parsons isn't a joke. That's just straight up not a joke.
Yeah.
We don't have to play them as often. We don't have to play Micah Parsons as often. It's great that he's out of the NFC East. However, I think, you know, I'm looking at my predictions here. That game, I think, was one of the more toss-up games. I know you said the Kansas City game at Kansas City was going to be a toss-up for you. I have them losing that game. I think they're going to struggle the first 3-4. Now, I say that, and then I have them going 2-2. Actually, 3-2 into the byes. Week 5 bye, correct?
Week 9 bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So
it's annoying, though, Lewis, and I agree with you. It's annoying. It's annoying.
I'm even looking at it. Week 9 bye.
It's annoying that they play Kansas City that early in the year, because they always come out a little bit different than what they are for the last 10-12 weeks of the season. It's frustrating me that they play Kansas City that early. I want that game to be like week 13 when you've got your feet wet. You already know what you are as a team, not like trying to figure your way out through the first 4 weeks after not playing in the preseason.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little rusty. I have them. I think we're going to kill Dallas. I think the Kansas City game could be close. I think it's going to be a close game with the Rams, even though they're coming here.
I think that as a friend, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I have them losing to Tampa, Denver, and then I have them going that same four win streak there, beating Denver, beating the Giants, beating the Vikings, beating the Giants. I have them beating the Packers. I think it could be a toss-up. I have them beating the Lions. I just think coming in the link, I think we have the edge there.
Both of those two games feel like toss-ups.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that you're right. Those two games are probably the two biggest possible.
So, yeah, 13-4?
13-4.
So, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. 13-4.
Before the break. Quickly, Kyle, what about, where do they finish in the playoffs?
Ooh.
Or do you want to ponder?
I mean, my gut wants to say, like, where do I want them to finish?
Where do you think? Where do you think? Come on. We all want to finish them. Win the Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'll go NFC Championship game. You know, because look, if you're going to win the division, you're going to have a home playoff game, and maybe multiple home playoff games. Nobody has beat this iteration of the Eagles at the link in the playoffs. It feels like it's the ultimate home field advantage in all of sports is getting a team in the link.
I think they're going to lose in the Super Bowl. Is that okay?
That's your prediction for the season?
Lost in the Super Bowl. NFC Championship. So you're going to lose in the NFC Championship.
Sure. Yeah. I'll go with that.
I just can't see them not getting through the NFC. It's going to be tough.
It got tougher. I mean, Micah going to Green Bay. Look, the NFC East got a heck of a lot easier, but the entire NFC as a whole, the Rams, I don't know what the Rams will be this year. I would assume they're still going to be good. They were a threat to you last year. And then, Green Bay in the North, the Bears maybe being a little bit better, the Lions. There's other good teams in the NFC now. Who knows what the Niners will be after the debacle last year.
Lewis, so real quick before we get to the break, where do you think they're going to finish in the playoffs?
I have $20 on them winning the Super Bowl.
There you go. Wow. There you go.
Okay. All right. Well,
Mr. Positivity, I like it.
I don't ever bet on my home teams, but good power to you.
Feels like bad juju.
Yeah. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Last segment from Kyle Forsini and Francisco Rojas before we hand things off to Dan Wilson. Like Sielski? I want to say Dan Sielski, but I'm not going to do that. You gave me the idea last week when I almost said Rob Sielski. Anyway, 94 WIP. Real quick, Kyle, I teased it before the break. We'll get to Lewis in a second, too. Player to watch this year. Player most excited to watch this year for the Eagles.
It's hard not to say somebody on the offense. Like, I would want to say
it's really not,
Saquon
you're saying it's not,
or AJ or Jalen. But if you're like most intrigued by watching, I'll say is Quinyon. I want to see how he responds in year two to a great rookie year. The defense is, I think, where a lot of the question marks lie with this team, specifically at the cornerback two position. So you need to have a lockdown CB1, and he was that last year as a rookie. Are there some sort of sophomore slump / growing pains as the NFL adjusts, or is he still going to be as good as he was last year? So I've got him highlighted as somebody that I'm very interested in seeing, because right now we're kind of penciling him in as like, yeah, he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And let's see if that comes true.
Yep, I agree. I'm going Nolan Smith. I think after the second half he had last year and now his role this year, him and Jalix Hunt. Jalix Hunt is someone he can go to as well. But I mean, the edge rusher position, that's something that's going to be very heavily watched this year.
Yeah, it's a question mark right now.
Yeah, the question mark. So Nolan Smith is mine. What about you, Lewis?
Yeah, I want to say it's a toss-up between Jihad Campbell and Drew Mukuba. I know Drew Mukuba's hurt. He also might not even start. It doesn't seem like he's probably going to start the season, but I think Drew Macuba has a pretty high ceiling, maybe a low floor, but he'll be interesting at the safety position.
The pick six against the Browns was sick.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that he's flashed.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to get to the Micah trade before we get out of here. Kyle Brandt had some really a really interesting comparison about Micah getting traded to the Green Bay Packers. Another Luka type trade, by the way. Dallas, another one.
They're in going shambles Luka, in Dallas.
Oh, my goodness.
Shambles.
This, I want you to listen to this. This is what Kyle Brandt from NFL Network had to say about the Micah trade.
Here we go. You have a three-time All-Pro who you drafted, homegrown, good dude, great player, gone. And you traded him to a team who you play a month from now, a team that beat you in the playoffs in your house by 900 points, into a franchise, not exactly riverboat gamblers when it comes to free agents and big trades, and yet they put the money together in 12 seconds after you were bloviating about it for 5 months. So that happens. What do you do to sit down and talk about it? Well, your first take is, we can use these picks to get Pro Bowlers. That's like saying, I got $20 million in the bank, and I'm going to say, we can spend it all on scratch-offs to get money. You have money. You can get Pro Bowlers. You have Micah Parsons. Even if you do get Pro Bowlers, Jerry, eventually they will want proper compensation.
Kyle Brandt's the best.
That analogy was phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
I loved that.
Unbelievable. But I mean, we haven't talked about it since the trade happened. Obviously, it just recently happened, Kyle, but...
I was
thank you, Jerry Jones.
You
well,
sent
not
me
thank
that.
You, but thank you not.
You were the one that alerted me to it. I hadn't seen it yet, and then you texted me and showed me that he was traded, and I could
well,
not
you
believe
him,
it.
And I was like, I got to text him.
Just insane that they traded away their best player on defense, a defense that's already suspect as is, a team that can't stop the run, and what do? They trade away Micah Parsons. Just because he can't stop the run doesn't mean he trade away Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Makes no sense, but the fact that they're now the butt of all jokes and they made one of the worst trades
believe.
Ever.
It was personal, too.
Phenomenal.
This is a lot of emotion involved in this, Jerry. Big ego. Cool. Made the headlines again. Thank
love
you,
it.
Though.
Thank absolutely
you.
Absolutely love it.
But Kyle, great show today, man.
Phenomenal
this
job. Loved it.
This
absolutely.
Yes, that was us today. And shout out to Ruben and Devin. They will be back next Saturday at 8 a.m. But Sanchez and Sale on the mound. So Chris Sale coming
good
back for
matchup.
The Braves. Let's try to get Chris Sale his first start back. Let's Aaron Nola got lit up his first start back. Let's do the same thing to Chris Sale. And then Chris Sanchez, who hopefully he can get.
Need a rebound.
Need a rebound start from Chris Sanchez. So that will do it for us. Kyle Forsini, Francisco Rojas, Luis Coco. Great job producing. Thank you, sir. So that will do it for us. Dan Wilson and Mike Sielski are up next right here on 90.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free.
talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.